forgot about. So we're experimenting, just to let you know. We'll work on it. This week, Sam happened to be over at the cottage in Rangeley by himself for a little while, and he had a new experience when a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door of the cottage and had a little chat with him. And it was funny because it just so happened there are 8 cottages there, and they were totally empty except for Sam here. And you wonder why you don't leave your kids alone. I'm sure he did quite fine. And we came into an interesting little discussion, and as they often do, visited with Sam and left a book. What does the Bible really teach? And don't get me started on that. But what was interesting is I was kind of flipping through it, and Sam was asking questions about, you know, what's the difference between Christianity and Jehovah's Witnesses, and we were having an interesting little discussion. There's a wonderful section in here on something which is called the Lord's Evening Meal. And I'd never heard that phrase. They call the Lord's Supper the Lord's Evening Meal. And in their tradition, they celebrate it only once a year on this 14th day of the month of Nisan. Now, this is the part where it starts to get a little funky. Only those whose God's Holy Spirit has convinced will become heavenly kings may eat the bread and drink the cup. So what you have to know is a kind of a divine information from God that you're going to be one of the heavenly kings. And just to let you know, from the time of Jesus until today, there's only 144,000. So, unless you know for sure you're one of those, the rest of the faithful, those who have the hope of living forever in paradise on earth, they only watch respectfully. So if you can picture this, what happens in most all Jehovah's Witnesses congregations is they celebrate the table, but nobody eats it. Because it would be kind of presumptuous to think you might be one of the 144,000. So they celebrate it, but nobody actually partakes of it. And I was just thinking, wow, what a contrast to our experience where the Lord himself invites you to share this meal with him. Come and feast. Come, you are thirsty. Those of you who are hungry, the scripture's full of it. Come and be a part of this table. So I thought that was a really interesting way to begin as I was thinking about this week. This is the Lord's table. He invites you to come. And there are 3 things as we come to the table for you to just be thinking about. The table tells us a lot and does a lot of things in our hearts and minds. 3 things for today. One is it reminds us how God has moved in the past. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of what God has done in the past, all the way in the past to the Passover celebration, right? When God passed over the people of Israel. Israelites were commanded by God never to forget. And so the Passover was a meal of remembrance, and the Lord's Supper is a meal of remembrance. And we remember how God has moved in our lives in the past. I was thinking about all the things that God has done in my life and my family's life in the past. Even just coming here to Sugarloaf. How, you know, we just happened to show up at Sugarloaf, you know. The events that conspired, that God put together to bring us here. Remembering Louise and Bill, you know, we were down at the church in Framington, and this church here just happened to be looking for a skiing pastor, and there just happened to be one 42 miles away. And Earl just happened to be, you know, frustrated with how church is so much sitting and not much doing. It's amazing how God has moved in our past. Thinking about as Ben's getting ready to launch himself, just thinking and going through some old journal stuff this summer, you know, and reading some of those old journal entries I wrote when he was 3 and 4 and 5 and doubtful that he would ever reach adulthood, you know, because I just was beside myself. And to see God working in that, incredible to see that. And God has moved in our past. God has moved in your past. Think for a minute of a time when God has moved in your past. Maybe you didn't even know it at the time, but looking back, you can see, wow, there was God's hand moving. And it might have been in a joyful time, you know, birth of a child, recovery from illness, some way where God answered prayer. It might have been a joyful time, but it might have also been a sorrowful time during an illness, during grief, when life was falling apart. Can you think of one of those times when God has moved? That's something we celebrate when we come to this table. God has moved. And it's important that we stop for a minute and thank Him for that and remember that. Not only has God moved in the past, but God is moving right now. And we notice that when we come to the Lord's table. God has moved among His people in the past, but God still moves. God still saves. We celebrate this regularly to keep God's work present in our lives. You know, we celebrate birthdays, we celebrate anniversaries, we sell all kinds of hallmarks to mark where we've come from. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper to keep it in front of us, to keep celebrating it, to keep it present. And the ways in which people celebrate communion and the amounts that people celebrate, that varies a lot. I mean, there are faithful Catholics who receive communion every day. I grew up celebrating it every week. A lot of free churches like Baptist, Congregation, they do it once a month. Some, I think the Seventh-day Adventists may be one of them. There are some denominations where you only practice once a year. But it's important to keep coming back. And to notice how God is still moving and still saving in our lives, even right now. Not just in the past, but right now. I got three different notes this week of encouragement. They just sort of happened to fall from three different people. People sending me notes, thanking me for various things in the church. And they all come at just the right time. They just come at just the right time. Or, you know, the past couple of weeks, I've really only been in the office once a week and doing most of my work over from Rangeley. I just happened to be here on Thursday. Ronnie Kittredge just happened to be over here from Bangor, and he happened to come by and see my car and happened to come in. And we talked about, what was going on in his life and prayed for Helga. God's still moving. God is still moving. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to the present moment and the mess that I'm in, the things that are going on in my life, I usually find it easier to see God working in other people's lives and situations than my own. Sometimes it's hard to see what's going on in my life right now as something that God's doing, but I'm much better at looking at other people's lives. Do you ever find that? It's so much easier. It's kind of like when you go to a museum or something, a gallery, and you see a painting right up close, you know, and you stand here and you just look at the painting and you go, oh, wow, that's a nice painting. And then you move way back where it's meant to be seen and you're like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that was there. And that's how you really know an incredible artist, because you know that artist wasn't standing way back there when they painted it. They were up close. But it's when you stand back and you can get the perspective. And so I find a lot of times I can see God working in other people's lives much more than my own. I did see God at work this week when I heard that it was Donovan that had taken Louise down to get her test there down at the hospital. And I was like, oh, that is marvelous, because I really saw the church being church. And I could see that. It was marvelous. But God is still moving and still saving. I think of Kit's work in Thailand. I think of the Baines just coming back from Rwanda. I think of Tina, and God is working in Tina. Tina, who continues to struggle. Continues to struggle with her choices. Continues to struggle with her past. But God doesn't give up on us. God does not give up. How is God moving today? How do you see God moving? Does anybody else see God moving? Maybe not in your own life, but maybe in other people's lives, or maybe in someone else's family, or maybe in the church, or maybe in the world. Do you see it? Is there any way we can encourage one another? Anybody seen anything this week?
that reminded you that God still works? Sometimes it's hard to do it personally, but if you step back, you can see it. Just think for a minute. Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, see God moving in that big picture. And even perhaps in those people that came by. Just the right time. Just the right time. Thank you, Lord. Excellent. Anything else that you came to mind that you could say that, you know, God is still moving. God is still working. What do you got, Lise?
Concerning Tina, a lot of those calls came, and when one of them came, I said to Bill, this is costing us money, you know. What is this? And Bill says, you can't not take the call. So it's the way he's moved in Bill. He cares as much about Tina and the way that God has put us all together.
Yep. Yeah, it's not just about moving and changing Tina. It's about moving and changing us. I encourage you to keep thinking about this because it's as we take the moment to slow down and to think about it that we can rejoice over it. So often we're caught up in our own lives so much, we don't even notice what's happening. I mean, I get like that. I totally get caught up in my own life and don't step back enough to acknowledge, oh my goodness, God's really moving. God's really doing. And he is. And he is. Those of us who have been watching, just even on a most mundane level, watching the financial gifts come in, know that God is still moving. I said to Jean today, oh, there's more gifts in your mailbox today. She said, oh my goodness. That's on a mundane level, but an important one. But an important one. God has moved in the past. God is still moving. The last thing that we proclaim, and we proclaim it loudly here, is that God will continue to move. God will continue to save. At this table, we proclaim that God will continue and that God will one day conquer once and for all sin and evil and death. Maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. And so the Lord's Supper is a celebration of hope. And that's why we're commanded to celebrate this meal, as it says here, until he comes. In other words, until Jesus comes again, his church is commanded to remember this. And in doing that, saying, you know, he is coming. He is coming. It will end. Sin and evil and death will be conquered once and for all. There's no coincidence that our Lord's Supper took place during the Passover, because Jesus is our Passover lamb. I was imagining today if I could have figured out a way to, over the door, the threshold when we came in, to put, you know, swaths of red right over there so that you could see as you come in, this is a place that God is passing over. And how does it feel to be covered, to be safe, to be covered, quite literally covered in his blood, and that's where that phrase comes from, covered with his blood over the doorpost. How are you looking, how are you hoping in your life, remembering that God will save tomorrow, that God will move tomorrow? What hopes, what tears, what dreams do you bring, and do you bring to the foot of the cross, do you bring to this table, saying, you know, there are still things out here that I know that I need for God to move in, for God to work in. Show me that you're still working. And we bring those hopes and dreams to the table. I have a song to bring us to the table today. It is a song that
We have not, I don't think, ever sung here, but it may be in your memory, Lamb of God. And Jesus is our Lamb of God. He is the perfect sacrifice, and that's why we can come this day. And I'm going to sing it, and as you feel comfortable to join me, or if you feel comfortable to join me, please do, and let this be our invitation to the table.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you Christ, the Lamb of God, your